Chair, before we start, since I may not be around at the end of the meeting, there is a scheduled subcommittee hearing tomorrow at 3 p.m., and we will also likely be scheduling both on Friday and Saturday subcommittee meetings. And I'll get the agendas out to you as soon as they're finalized.
And as long as we're talking about agendas, I believe next Wednesday we will have a committee gathering celebration and a place to be determined Wednesday evening. Yeah.
Continuing, Mr. Chair, there should be a memo on House Bill 5018, the district attorneys and the deputies in front of you. I will go through this. It's relatively short budget compared to some of them that are in front of you. And then also on the agenda is the Oregon Judicial Department, which will follow. On the first page there, you'll just see the spending 0305 through the LFO recommended, as well as a chart at the bottom that demonstrates the various categories of spending in the district attorney's budget. Just a quick note, the appropriation for this agency is actually made to the Department of Justice, who then distribute the funds. The district attorneys themselves are state employees. While the majority of the funding for district attorney offices is generated from county revenues. This recommended budget does reinstate the what is essentially the old payments to counties to assist in payment of deputy district attorneys. If you turn to page 2, I will start going through the four policy packages that make up this budget. Package 101 was proposed in the governor's budget. It's entitled the Oregon District Attorneys Association Restructure. This package added a new executive director position for the agency in the Oregon District Attorneys Association. It also had proposed transferring an existing position from DOJ, Department of Justice, to this agency. And the Department of Justice budget that passed out of here last week, I believe, time is starting to fly here, did that transfer of that position was not part of that budget. And in addition, LFO is not recommending Package 101 at this time, in part because resources are not available in the co-chair's budget for this package. Package 102 is a compensation adjustment plan. The governor proposed a 3% increase effective July 1, 2008, halfway through the biennium. LFO recommendation based on available funds is that the increase in compensation be 1.5%. This is an across-the-board increase for all 36 DAs, effective for the final 12 months of the biennium. In addition to this increase, just so you know, DAs in the past have also got cost of living increases just as the other state employees do. So they will be part of an emergency board action in the distribution of the celery pot later on in the biennium.
Mr. Chair, can I ask a question?
Sure.
Where would this place the DAs in their ranking nationally?
Mr. Chair, Senator Winters, I'm not sure. I know generally they have not been very high relative to many other states. I think they brought forward information during their presentation that did do some comparisons. I'd have to go look at that, but my guess is they would still probably be low average.
Do you need an answer for that to move forward?
Well, no, we can go ahead and move forward, but I would like somewhere along this for somebody to give me that answer.
Okay, fair enough. At the end, I'll invite Mr. Wood up to make some closing comments. Please continue.
Package 110 is also another compensation restructuring. There are currently three tiers of DAs based generally on county population. The first tier are the large counties like Multnomah, Jackson, Clackamas, Washington, Marion, and a few others. The second tier are also full-time district attorneys, which make up the bulk of the counties, the medium and smaller counties. And the third tier are what is essentially compensated DAs for part-time work. Those counties that are in that third tier are Gilliam, Sherman, and Wheeler. The governor included a package to bring those three third-tier counties to the same level as the second-tier counties, basically paying them full-time at roughly $80,000 a year. They currently make just over $55,000 a year. The package, the cost of this package is $176,400, and LFO recommends the approval of this package. And the final package, 111, prosecutorial assistance. This is essentially what used to be called the Deputy DA supplement. The governor proposed just over $810,000. Based on the available revenues, the LFO recommendation is for just over $444,000. This is in addition, just so you understand, to $2 million, which will be part of the Department of Justice budget in payments to DA offices for their responsibilities in various stages of child welfare, child dependency cases. That is new funding also going out to the DAs. This particular $444,000 that is part of this recommendation is basically distributed, if you go to the table on the that's also part of your package. What it basically does is what we're proposing here, and in the amendment that I have, which I'll pass out in a minute, for the bill, will basically fund the first three deputy DAs plus a credit to the district attorney. We'll pay them on an annual basis $1,250. So if a county has three deputy DAs or more plus the district attorney, they would get each year get four times the $1,250 or $5,000. If you have less than three deputy DAs, you would only get, for example, one deputy DA. You would get the $1,250 credit for the DA and $1,250 for the single deputy DA. That way, you'll see then on this list the county by county demonstration. Now, what the amendment calls for is each, as the past programs has, and for this particular package in the past, each county or each district attorney office will have to certify to the Department of Justice how many deputy DAs they have at the beginning of each year, and then the Department of Justice will distribute the funds in this package based on that certification. What you have in front of you in the table is a recent example or census of deputy DAs and just how that would be distributed. What's different from previous years in this is that credit is given to the district attorney, he or she. In the past, that hasn't been the case, so the smaller counties that don't have deputy DAs, the Gilliam, the Shermans, the Wheelers, Lake County, I believe, is another one, would have not gotten anything for this. We have given suggested giving credit for the district attorney himself or herself, so they do get a minimal amount of funding. So in a sense, compared to previous years, the smaller counties are coming out ahead. But to be honest, there isn't a great deal of money in this package to make that large of a difference in the funding going to larger counties like Clackamas, Washington, Marion, or Multnomah.
And if I could interject, if we did it based on the number of criminals, Multnomah County would be getting a lot more money than it is. So I think it was important that we distribute this out to the counties, particularly those that are most hurting because of the timber payments over time.
And Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee, the intent of the funds in this case would be for prosecutional assistance or the direct costs of prosecution, including the compensation of deputy DAs, witness costs, and the other direct costs that they have. And there's no doubt that the counties would still be paying the lion's share of the cost of deputy or of the district attorney's office, even with this package and the money included in the Department of Justice package, except for those counties that really don't have very few or any deputy DAs. Mr. Chair, I'm also passing out an amendment That actually is the amendment I had drafted this time. Because of the language that I just described in the allocation, quickly go through the amendment. This is what I would, this is based on our recommendation. Section 1 on line 4 there is just the appropriation, the final appropriation number in our recommendation. The others are basically structured as in past years. Line 5, subsection 1, is really the compensation of the 36 DAs. Subsection 2, starting in line 7, is the deputy DA and cost of prosecution that I just discussed, the distribution. And number 3 are the admin costs that the Department of Justice pays on behalf of this agency for admin. Most of that is the insurance costs for the DAs, the risk management costs from the Department of Administrative Services. The key section is Section 3 in terms of the allocation of the money for deputy DAs and other direct costs of prosecution. It basically is structured just as I described and what is outlined as an example on the table. Mr. Chair, that is the our presentation of the packages and the budget.
Any discussion?
The motion?
Yeah. Which?
You want to go through the performance measures?
Mr. Chair, at least in the order on the package, you may want to move the amendment which reflects the LFO of recommendations, and then we can do the performance measures and then go to the final motion.
Mr. Chair, I move the dash twos into House Bill 5018.
Senator Westland has moved the dash twos into House Bill 5018. Any discussion? Any objections? So moved. On to the performance measure.
Mr. Chair, also in your packet is the general two-page performance measure. This agency returned to the Joint Legislative Audit Committee part of the way through the last interim, presented their three of the performance measures, including the customer service performance measure. They've added a fourth performance measure dealing with early and special resolution programs, number 4 there. As you notice, there are no targets at this stage, and that really is the what we're saying in our recommendation is that as soon as they can, they need to submit the targets to LFO, and if LFO determines after consultation with the agency and Department of Administrative Services that they need further review, we would then make sure they go in front of the Joint Legislative Audit Committee. The other comment that we should have that we have is on Performance Measure 4, which is the percentage of district attorney offices resolving cases through early and special resolution programs. We would suggest that the agency take a look at maybe measuring not the number of district attorney offices that are resolving cases through such programs, but maybe the number of the percentage of cases or something as a result, meaning if everyone had one of these programs and if they are merited as being valuable programs, these are include things like drug courts, if I'm not mistaken, then you could have close to 100%. It would maybe be a better measure that taking a look at the actual number of cases that are resolved. We would suggest that they look at this during the interim and present their findings during the next Ways and Means presentation in 2009, if not sooner, in front of the Joint Legislative Audit Committee. And in addition, we would recommend that if work and as work goes on public safety agencies across the board in formulating a public safety system-wide performance set of measures or measure, that they also participate because they are key actors in that public safety system. And Mr. Chair, those are our recommendations on the key performance measures.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson.
Maybe it's after the motion, but just to, if I may ask a question, I heard staff refer to the agency. And my concern is when we make a reference to the agency, who is the agency and who represents the agency in this particular situation?
Mr. Chair, Representative Cameron, this is a unique agency. There are 36 agency heads, for a lack of better term, and no employees other than those 36. The money does flow through the Department of Justice. There is a staff person on the Department of Justice which helps coordinate that, but we usually deal with whoever is the spokesperson or the president of the association or their representative, in this case Mr. Neely or Mr. Foote, who are also in the audience today.
Follow up, if I may, Mr. Chair, which is a concern to me in the fact that the co-chairs, we didn't fund the request for some sort of a person that would represent the district attorneys. And my question would be, those people who, I guess, volunteer their time from their particular district, in this case, to come up here, is there any compensation back to those particular, I guess, one of those 36 agencies that sends forward a volunteer to help appear at this particular time?
Mr. Chair, Representative Cameron, not that I know of. I do not think the Department of Justice, out of the admin funds for this agency, pays any reimbursement for travel.
Thank you. Further discussion on the key performance measures?
Chair.
Yes.
I move the committee adopt the key performance measures as outlined by LFO.
Senator Westland has moved the key performance measures as outlined by LFO. Discussion? Any objections? So moved. Ready for final action. Senator Westland.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 5018 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Westland has moved House Bill 5018 as amended to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Representative Cameron.
Yeah, just to follow up to my last point on Policy Package 101, I'm a little disappointed that we didn't get something there to help the DAs with their association and move towards a direction there. And I think that that's something that we need to really take a look at it, the hard work they do and the lack of really support we give them from the state. That would be one thing we could do, I think, that would be very, very simple and very productive for us in the future.
Thank you. Good discussion point.
Representative Barker. Say, as I've said before, I think this is another group in the field that's underpaid, and hopefully as the economy improves, we'll be able to get these people back up to salary commensurate with what they're doing.
Thank you. Further discussion? Seeing none, objections? So moved. Carriers from the House side, we'll need somebody on four ways and means. Representative Nathanson, you've done so well in public safety budget so far. Would you like to carry this? And then on the Senate side.
She's 0 for 8, don't have any problem.
Senate side, we just need somebody to carry it on the floor. Great. And Mr. Ford, if you'd like to come and feel free to make any closing comments. We appreciate working with you and your members and Mr. Neely.
Chair Shield, members of the committee, I want to express our appreciation for all the work that's gone into this. This is a step in the right direction. I have to also share with you, to be completely frank, that we're disappointed, but appreciative. The area I think we're most disappointed in is in the area of an executive director. We'd ask you to consider that still. I know you still have, I don't understand the building at all, but I know you have ways of considering things. I personally will tell you that I think it's an extremely important initiative for our organization. I've been in the business 27 years, so I would ask you to reconsider that and keep it in mind. I think it would help our organization a great deal, and we've kind of explained that to you already. The other thing I just mentioned is the performance measure number 3. We've never seen it, and it may be a standard one, but there were some questions about who the agency is. I would tell you, I got a question about who the customer is. I mean, we know the people we serve, but this could be fraught with interesting challenges. So I would just throw that out to you. For instance, do you want us to always make sure that the victim is the customer? That isn't really our role. We serve victims, but they are not our only customer. So, anyway, just throw that out. I imagine we can work through the problems, but we're kind of a unique agency. We're not always in the business of making people happy. We're in the business of trying to do things well.
Join the club.
Join the
that's points true. Well taken. Maybe that could be something the Interim Judiciary Committee takes a look at.
Mr. Chair, that is the every agency is required to have that performance measure as part of its set of performance measures. So I'd be glad to work with the agency and its representatives on looking at that. They are not unique in not being well liked by all their clients.
We have sort of a unique job, though.
Department of Corrections would probably have the same problems. So.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Pope. We appreciate your work and on behalf of the state and public safety. I will close the work session on House Bill 5018 and open work session on Senate Bill 5518, the Oregon Judicial Departments. And Ms. Lamont, would you like to set us up?
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, staff is passing out an updated version of what was handed to you earlier, a couple of minor corrections, and also the conceptual amendments are attached, so that you have a complete packet in front of you now, and I'd appreciate it if you'd work off on the new document.
Okay.
This, of course, is the budget for the Judicial Department, and what I would like to do is walk you through the policy action packages and have a discussion on any of those, and then move through the performance measures and then adoption of the agency budget, if that is what this committee so desires.
Sounds good to me.
Okay.
Mr. Chief Justice, if you care to join us at the table, we would love to have you.
Good afternoon. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, if I could just take one moment before you begin your deliberations to say that the Supreme Court has an externship program in which we have very gifted young law students who work for us during the summer, and I thought this was a perfect opportunity for them to have the opportunity to see the two branches of government interface with one another in this proceeding. So our externs are here.
Great. Welcome to the committee.
Mr. Chair, how many of them are there?
Well, right now we have four of them with us. There's a fifth one also, and they come from Oregon law schools as far away as Notre Dame, Michigan, and South Dakota.
Can we have them introduce themselves?
Okay. Sure.
Stand up and introduce yourselves.
I'm Martin Carlton.
The same one.
Where are you from?
I'm from Burn, Eastern Oregon.
And where are you going to law school?
I'm going to school in South Dakota. I'm a second year, so I've got one left.
To law school in South Dakota?
There's a city in Burns?
Please continue.
Hi, I'm from Portland, Oregon.
Thank you.
And I'm also I just completed my second year, and I'm at Liston Clark Law School.
My name is Lissa Casey, and I just finished my second year at University of Oregon.
I'm Andrea Barton. I'm from Lake Oswego, Oregon, and I go to school at Notre Dame.
Great.
Thank you. Nice touch.
So, Mr. Chair, I would start on the front page of this document. The first is an adjustment to reverse the governor's adjustment. If you recall, the governor makes adjustments to judicial branch agencies that are unspecified. What I have done is to add back that unspecified adjustment and then work the reductions through the agency budget. Package 101 is the judicial salary adjustment. There's a table that shows the effect of this adjustment. It is an increase of 14% on July 1, 2007 and 3% on July 1, 2008. Package 102, the
Mr. Chair. Discussion here. And Representative Cameron and then Representative Hannah.
Yeah. Do you want to discuss now as we're going through individual packages?
Yeah.
On this, and we just heard prior testimony from the DAs about 1.5%, but they're getting a COLA. Is there COLAs on the judiciary salary?
Mr. Chair, Representative Cameron, no, there is not. It's set in statute.
Representative Hannah.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'd like to hear from the Chief Justice on this issue about the place we are within what's recommended now versus what the recommendations were of the Committee on Judicial Fitness and
the task force on judicial excellence. Would you like me to answer that?
Yes.
I'm happy to do so. The task force on judicial excellence recommended an increase in the trial judge's compensation to $125,000. That was still significantly less than what their salary would have been adjusted for inflation, which would have been $132,000. This, I'm just now seeing this, but this adjustment, and I, you'll probably think I'm a little bit weird if I can tell you I have the tables memorized. I believe that this adjustment by the end of the biennium, would move the Oregon judicial branch to approximately 44th in the country, from 51st to 44th. Now that doesn't, I don't have on the tip of my tongue, Representative Hannah, the other adjustments that are being made to the other states as we speak, but with the data that I have now, I think it would creep up to around 44.
Further question?
Sure.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and this is directed to you. We continue to hear about additional funding possibilities from a chair's position and communication with the co-chairs. Any indication about supplementing this funding or further increase to these salaries?
I am. I know that quite a few people in the room are interested in increasing this number beyond 7, but my understanding is my task is to move this budget out. As you know, it's not over till it's over. But no, I've gotten no indication that there's.
Shall I proceed?
Please.
Package 102 was withdrawn by the agency that is covered in the employee COLA medical benefit package that covers all state employees. Package 103, this package included $20 million general fund and $25.5 million other funds from certificates of participation and agency other funds pending balance to begin implementation of the OGIN conversion. There is a package 811 that has interim financing. This package has been adjusted to include $183,194 federal funds for a juvenile court improvement grant. The package 104, specialty courts, this package was not funded. 806, package 806 restores staff that had been shifted from court operations to the drug courts or to specialty courts and restores that ongoing staffing for workload. There is a related budget note having to do with the administration of drug courts. You would have seen, I believe, this budget note in the Criminal Justice Commission's budget as well as this budget. It envisions setting up an interim process to report on how the drug court should go forward in the future, the grant-funded components of the drug courts. Package 105.
Sorry. Representative Nathanson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to make a brief comment on this budget note. I think most of you in the room know that I'm extremely interested in drug court and treatment court. I'm very pleased that it's something that's already been started and it looks like can be continued. I am also very interested in making sure that this kind of process or program be integrated as a part of the normal way of doing business in the criminal justice system, rather than treated as some specialty trial or experiment to see how it's going. This is no longer a demonstration project. It seems that these work very well, and in fact, there's a very nice section on treatment courts in the Chief Justice's report that we received several months ago. So, if the intent of this is to study and potentially affirm the value of these courts and have them be more integrated into the system as a component of the system rather than an add-on demonstration project, that I'm very pleased about that.
Package 105, court facilities. This was not funded, but there is a related bill that will be coming in front of this committee that will address the issue of how to deal with court facilities issues over the interim. Court security, package 106.
So I'm tracking the multiple pieces. Is that House Bill 2331?
I'm not sure exactly which bill that will be. It'll either be that one or Senate Bill 279.
Okay, thank you.
Court security implements the provisions of House Bill 2792 in 2005. Funding for the court security account. The LFO recommendation is to approve the revised package that includes an other funds expenditure limitation of $2,402,730 and other funds and two positions and 1.5 FTE. My description of package 107 is wrong. It does not include two pilot projects. The package actually includes one pilot project relating to the collection of amounts owed in the more difficult cases where clients are not easily tracked. And it also includes federal funds to continue a juvenile court improvement grant. Package 108, new judgeships, is not funded. But if the bill moves forward, that issue can be addressed in the bill. Package 109, real-time reporting pilot. Again, this package was not funded. However, there is a substantive bill that does most of the components of this, and the funding can be addressed in that bill. Package 110, interpreter rate increase and forms translation, that package is eliminated. Package 801 is the LFO adjustment to the essential budget level package 040, which was an essential budget level adjustment that added $9.6 million and 72 positions to establish a new mandated caseload adjustment for court workload. LFO recommends elimination of that, approval of the package that eliminates that, the essential budget level adjustment, with a budget note, again, that you would have seen in the Criminal Justice Commission that sets up an interim process to look at the issue of mandated caseload across public safety agencies and a process for forecasting that caseload and ensuring that there is comparability between agencies that receive that mandated caseload adjustment by case type. Package 806, I just mentioned, it's the workload shift that adds drug court staff. This is 2 million. Well, it adds staff to replace staff that had been shifted to drug courts and adds 2 million general fund and 19 positions. Package 807 is an LFO analyst adjustment to the essential budget level package 040 in the mandated payments program. This adds 700,000 general fund for interpreter, increased interpreter workload. Package 808 adds $858,053 and 11 positions for a variety of different grants that are listed. Package 809 adds other funds for workload in the Citizen Review Board. Package 810 is a technical adjustment for non-limited other funds collection costs. It adds $1.3 million. These are expenditures by the department for the cost of collections, such as the cost of third-party collection agents. And package 811 adds $2 million for the development of a strategic plan. Legislative oversight will be funded out of another bill which will contain legislative direction and a budget note related to the development of the plan. And that completes the policy package adjustment.
So I ask you a question about the OG plan then. So LFO's recommendation is to continue the planning, and there's not going to be authorization for COPs now.
Correct.
That could happen, say,
yet,
in February.
Mr. Chair, my assumption is that then the recommendations from this work group or task force that was created by this other bill would bring forward recommendations to the February meeting of the legislature.
So it will happen relatively quickly.
That's correct.
Now, is that outlined in a budget note here that that's when they're supposed to report back? Or
no, that will be included in probably in whether it's whichever bill it is that goes forward with okay. That.
All right.
For motion, Mr. Chair.
I think some discussion first, Representative Parker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And on package 110, interpreter rate increase and translation forms, that's been eliminated. So are we going to pay interpreters what we've been paying them? Is that what that budget note says? And
yes, Mr. Chair.
I would assume that the need is increasing, not maybe.
Well. This, the package, Mr. Chair and Representative Markman, the package that was eliminated increased interpreter compensation and provided for some additional forms translation. We have added $700,000 for workload, and that is in addition to a $1.7 million supplemental appropriation that was provided. So we're dealing with the workload issue, but not a salary adjustment.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Winters.
I'd like to ask the same question, and perhaps the Chief Justice can get back to me, and that is with the salary increase, where does that rank us across the country? And I know you can't do it right now because you probably have the other 49, 50 states. But I just have to put on record that I think all, and I don't think I'm alone in wanting to increase our standing of our judicial salaries as well as our district attorney salaries. I mean, the judicial branch is an independent branch of government, and we ask a lot of them, and yet when we had the discussion about their salaries, I believe they were 51st in the country. I can recall in this building when we used to have comments about other states that were at the bottom. You know, and we were very proud that we weren't one of those that were anywhere near the bottom. And now we find ourselves there. And if there's any way possible, as you have the discussions with the co-chairs, and if there are any dollars to be found, I personally would like to see us devote some more dollars to this issue. It bothers me for us to be 51st, to be honest with you.
So noted. Mr. Chief Justice, I think you commented a little bit of where you thought this might be.
I would be happy to do that, Chair Shield, Senator Winters. I don't need to get back to you on that. This would move us, by my calculations, to 44th.
We're still less than average.
Yes.
We're still below average.
Yes, ma'am.
But if I may, Mr. Chair, Senator Chief Wessel? Justice made this point.
That's not a real-time calculation.
Right.
Chief Justice is unaware of other actions taken by other state legislatures
right.
with regard to judicial compensation. So at the end of this, we could be 52nd.
That's right.
Or if the new state is added to the union.
They count the territories in this.
Oh, that's right.
We've got the opportunity to be 53rd.
Did you have a comment, Senator Burdick? Senator Nelson, were you in the queue?
It's just on this first page, so I'm clear about it. If you look at the Chief Justice's recommended budget was 500 and some odd million, 543. The governor's was 498. It came to 358 with this budget. But there's 126 million that's going to be added in other packages. Is that, am I understanding this right?
No. I'm not sure. Where you're getting the 126.
Well, you said there's a reduction of 101 million.
Yes, that was
court
for
facilities.
That was a request for COPs and bonding and some other costs related to the to upgrading court facilities. That money is not going to be restored. A mechanism for determining what needs to be funded will be included in another bill.
Okay,
and then the 25.5 million may very well be restored, depending on what the interim work group recommends with regard to technology.
Well, then another question is: did the Chief Justice recommend a budget of 543, or about 544 million? Did that include those two?
Yes.
Those two items. So there's some of those. I mean, I guess I'd have to second Senator Winters on some of this. And have an equal branch of government here. It would be nice to meet them with some financial respect.
just to clarify, the department had withdrawn the 101 million piece, subject to further discussion on the issue. Which is not to say that there isn't a very large need out there, but this wasn't an arbitrary withdrawal of a request.
And a lot of the money, if I recall, in the Chief Justice's, was capital and infrastructure dollars that they were paying out as opposed to doing COPs on.
So then, just to clarify this, just one more question, there were $13.8 million below what the governor's recommended budget was.
That's correct.
And that's this issue over the salaries and the things that I think the representatives have been talking about. Is that?
That's correct. Those are the adjustments that got made in this budget.
Thank you.
Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And the motion has not been made yet, is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. But we've sort of moved to discussion. Are you cool?
Yeah, all right.
You know, colleagues, I think when you get to the building and you take your role or your seat at this dais, and you begin to go through the entire ways and means process, you just learn as you go here. you don't get here, even if you're an accountant or an economist or a business person, and understand how all this works the day you're here. It just doesn't happen. But as we go through this, we learn. And I think critical in the learning on the public safety side, and specific to the judicial branch budget, is a comment that Senator Nelson made, and maybe others. But we're not talking about funding for one of our departments here. We are talking about funding a branch of government. A branch of government upon who every citizen in Oregon relies upon for the law to be upheld. Everything that's done as it relates to criminal and business and civic law, everything when we look abroad and we say, what's wrong with that country or what's wrong with that place, and we look around and say, why can't they get it together? Why are they always fighting? Why are they always in turmoil? If you read and look at history, a lot of that just says it's got to do with they don't have their judicial system in place. There's no trust in the judicial system. In fact, the people that they have in the judicial system can't be trusted, or they aren't the quality or caliber of person that every one of us expects these people to be in those positions. When we have to go look in the mirror and say to ourselves, are we doing what's right for Oregonians? Have we recognized that the judicial branch is a key function, a core function of government, in order to maintain that which we all know as a wonderful life in Oregon, that which we know when we go to court, we get what we're hoping to get, and that is fair treatment? We have to have the right people in place. It scares me to think that somewhere down the road, rather than having the very best people that we could have there, we somehow end up with a JV team. None of us want to get there and have that representation. And as it applies to the salary issue, do we have to be in the middle? Do we have to be at the top? I'm not sure that's as much of the discussion as it is, are we paying these people a salary commensurate for the work we expect them to do? If you're the top or the bottom, just not sure that's the critical part. But are you being paid commensurate for the job we're expecting them, the job that we're all hoping they're going to do? And then as it applies to the specialty court piece, I agree with the representative from Eugene that if this has been proven, if it is true that they are so effective, why are we going back to study it again when we've shown over and over their effectiveness? If something's good and the change is worthy, let's move forward. Mr. Chair, I appreciate the work you've put into this. I appreciate the position you're in with the co-chairs. With respect to the folks that are here representing the judicial branch, I'm going to be a no on this budget. And I hope they will understand. I'm going to be a no on this budget because I don't think we've given it the attention it deserves. I don't think we've given it the funding it deserves. And I don't think we're showing the respect for a branch of government that we all rely on.
Fair enough. Thank you for the explanation of the no vote. Why don't we get into moving the performance measures, and then we can move the or into the motions
policy
and have further discussion.
Mr. Chair, I move the policy option package adjustments and the related budget note as presented by Yellowfoot.
Senator Westland has moved the key performance measures.
The policy
option. Okay. The policy
the
option
budget
package
budget
adjustments
budget
and
budget
notes.
It actually should be plural. So.
Okay. And budget notes. Is there any discussion about that, Representative Cameron?
Yeah. Mr. Chair, I want to follow up on probably Representative Hannah's comments. I first of all want to thank the co-chairs for a 14% increase in salaries and a 3% on July 1. And I think that is a great step in the right direction. But our judges don't have COLAs. They don't have automatic cost of living increases like a lot of other people. They are in a different branch of government. And I think It's not only the issue of salary, but the whole issue of our court system. And I've heard through this whole process, this has been a great process for me to sit here at this table and listen and meet with people in my office about everybody's priorities. And as we all know in this building, everybody's priority is important. But as I represent the people in House District 19, I really do think, and the rest of the people in the state of Oregon as I make a vote, I really do think that not only the individuals that we treat with dignity and respect, and part of it is salary, but part of it is the facilities, and part of it is the technologies that they're so far behind in that slow other professions. I have a bill folder here of letters from attorneys in Portland and all around the state that encourage us to support various packages for reasons. And obviously not all of these are just criminal cases. Some of these are business cases and the efficiencies. And just the time I got to spend in business areas and some of the efficiencies we've passed this session, for example, on the e-permitting process, the electronic process we're doing for contractors. And that same concept of technology just applies in every aspect of government when we go to serve our constituents. And I just really want to strongly suggest that the co-chairs take another look at the amount of funding that we've put, not only in salaries in this, but in the technology and the things that we need to move forward. And I would also echo the fact that we do study things a lot, and I have sat on judiciary now during the interim and also on judiciary here in the policy committee. I visited the drug courts. I've heard testimony over and over again. It's effective, and I don't think we need to waste our time and our money studying something that we know is working. We need to incorporate it into a branch of government that can administer it and help the citizens of our state. So that's my explanation of my no vote today.
Very good. Representative Nathanson.
I'd like to reflect for a moment on what our job is, particularly because we have some people in the audience who are students, and they've been busy studying for some months and not necessarily following the ins and outs of a state budget and the politics that goes on around making recommendations for a state budget. It seems like on a Ways and Means subcommittee like this, we have there are at least two fundamental aspects of our decision making here. One is policy based. We're not a policy committee, but does the budget that we're reviewing match the policies and priorities and the needs for the kinds of services and programs that we need to offer the citizens? So in some sense, it's policy related in that does this budget accomplish or achieve the kinds of policies that we put in place? And then the other part of what we do is, so then, do we have the fiscal capacity to pay for it? Is this the way to fund what it is we want to make happen? And the one of the unfortunate things about our task the last few months is that we have a budget that has been recommended to us from the administrative level that was based on funding that didn't exist yet. It was based on the hope for new revenue sources, and there hasn't been a sufficient number of votes between the two chambers in the legislature to raise the additional revenue to fund what was in that recommended budget. So instead of being able to achieve 100% of what might have accomplished all these hopes and objectives, we now find ourselves to be fiscally responsible. We have to now scale our budget to be only within the amount of revenue that we have available to us as of today. Now something may change tomorrow or next week. I've heard people start to say often, it's not over till it's over. And indeed, it's not over yet. If we are able to come to agreement on additional revenue, then I think there will be a mad dash, but a very happy very happy dash to try to then raise up some of these inadequate budgets to a level that we had hoped for.
Comment, Representative Barker.
Thank you, Representative Shield, Chairman Shield. And I'd just like to cut it short because most of it's been said, but it is an independent branch. It does deserve more money than we're giving than we're able to give it this time. And I'm going to continue to work with Chair Shield, full Ways and Means co-chairs, to try to get some more money before it is all over this time for this budget. And I'm going to be granting my vote on this.
Thank you, Representative Barker. Any other explanations?
Thank
Senator
you,
Burdick.
Chair. I actually agreed with much of what Representative Hanna had to say, but I will be voting yes on this budget because it is a move in the right direction. We have a tremendous obligation to fund this separate branch of government. And as Judiciary Chair for two sessions now, we see so many people and so many interests rolling through the criminal justice system, and if any part of it breaks down, we are really in trouble. And what I most fear is just a gradual, barely perceptible erosion in the quality of the people who are willing to do these jobs, because we really depend on them. I mean, I read some of these decisions, and I'm always struck by the amount of training, the amount of experience, the amount of commitment, and even passion for these issues that drives these decisions that dictate our lives in Oregon as part of the three-part government that we have. And checks and balances don't work if you don't have a balanced system. And this budget will help move us toward balance. And so I will be supporting it.
Thank you, Senator Burdick. All right. Let's keep moving with. Do we have a motion in play right now?
Yeah, take the vote.
Okay. We have a motion on the table to approve the policy option package adjustments and related budget notes. Assuming no further discussion, we will have. Why don't we just ask for objections? Let the record show Representative Hanna, Representative Cameron object, and no others. So ordered.
Moving on to the performance measures. The Judicial Department has done a remarkable job of developing performance measures that are clearly tied to their management goals and objectives, and I just strongly recommend that they be commended for their efforts to link their measures to their strategic plan and outcomes. My recommendation is to approve the key performance measures, but to add the customer service performance measure similar to what you saw recommended for the Oregon State Police. It's a standard requirement now for all agencies.
So we're ready to move the LFO recommendation. Senator Wilson.
Chair, I move the committee adopt the performance measures as outlined by Legislative Fiscal Office.
Senator Wesley has moved to approve the performance measures and LFO recommendation. Discussion? Objections? So moved.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, I recommend that you approve the budget for the Judicial Department as detailed on the attached session action report.
Senator Wesley, you want to make that motion?
Mr. Chair, I move the Oregon Judicial Department budget be approved as detailed on the attached work session report dated June 13, 2007.
Senator Westland has moved to approve the budget for the Oregon Judicial Department as detailed on the attached work session action report. Discussion, objections, Representative Cameron and Representative Hanna. Seeing no others, so moved. And
Chair, I move the conceptual amendments, -1 amendments, as outlined in our packets by the same date, be amended into Senate Bill 55-18.
Senator Westland has moved to approve the conceptual -1 amendment to Senate Bill 5518. Discussion? Objections? Representative Hanna? So moved. Final subcommittee action. Senator Westland.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 5518 to the full committee with a two-pass recommendation.
Senator Westland has moved Senate Bill 5518 as amended to the full Joint Committee on Ways and Means with the due pass recommendations. Discussion? I thought I'd like to just make a few brief comments before we close out. I think it's important for us to just realize from where we've been coming to how far we have gotten down the field. If you look at where we were in 2005-07, this is a $32.8 million increase. We're going from the general fund of about $282 million in 05-07 to $314 in 07-09. And I think that's a pretty good step, frankly. And if you look at what we've done with some of the other budgets here, public defense services that we passed out, had an increase of only about $20 million in roughly comparable terms. And if you look at what we did to the Department of Corrections, which has been going up consistently at 25% for as many years as I can remember. And, you know, I think that respecting the judiciary, salaries are important, support's important, but there are other portions of respecting the judiciary, like judicial discretion in the courtroom. And so I think as you know, we look at this, there still might be some options with the revenue committees to look at. I think about the old saying that everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. And I think we might have some more opportunities to bring some more revenue to the table on this. So I think, you know, keeping those things in mind, when the co-chair's budget came out, there was big concern about that. The co-chair's moved to $6 million after the revenue forecast and then moved another $1.5 million between then and now. So that being said, I am comfortable with the budget and will be voting yes. Senator Wesley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was going to say somewhat similar remarks with regard to the progress from when this budget was first presented to what it looks like today. That is some significant improvement and reflects a great deal of work on your part, exemplary work on the part of the Chief Justice and the Department. And certainly, Ms. Lamont, as always, has given us, you know, excellent work from Legislative Fiscal Office. Having said that, there's a couple of things that bother me. And we have done this same dance for too many years in this very committee room. I remember 7 years ago, Kingsley Click sat right at that desk and uttered some of the most important words I've ever heard in this process. And she knows what I'm going to say because I tease her about it all the time, but they're still important words for all of us to hear. And she said, "Do not take for granted justice." Nothing could be more true, perhaps especially today. So as we are prepared to move this budget out, I do so with a great deal of sadness, but also a very sincere commitment to you, Mr. Chief Justice, as well as everyone involved in the judiciary, that I, and I know many on this committee, will continue to work particularly for something you don't have, never have had, and certainly are entitled to, and that is the simple respect of a cost of living adjustment as you go forward through the coming years. You know, it's interesting how in the three legs
of the stool of justice, if you will. The public defenders get no benefits, no pension, no COLAs. DAs get it all. Justices get part of it. We've got to bring some, you know, symmetry to the holistic approach of how justice is served in this state. And I think the very least we can do as a legislative body this session is make sure that you receive, every justice in this state receives, the simple courtesy of a cost of living adjustment that every other public employee in this state receives. And granted, you're separate branch of government, and I understand that, and I just think it's fair. And I appreciate you, and I appreciate all you've done, sir. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Cameron.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do want to thank the Chief Justice for all he's done and his staff for all they've done in helping to bring this issue forward. And I know it's been brought up to all of our minds. And I want to thank you for how you've run this committee and obviously, as Representative Hanna, how we've all learned together as we've gone forward. A couple of statements have been made about finding more revenue. And it's interesting in this committee that that's the only thing I ever hear is that I have not been willing to come forward to produce more revenue. And I know those comments are directed at me when they're said. And it's interesting how that's the solution. And yet, during this process, I have learned that what I'm here for is to listen. And yet I don't have any control. We've had this discussion before. I have no input towards other priorities. And that's what a budget is. A budget reflects the priorities of the people who make it. And we have $2.5 billion more in revenues, new. And it's a priority as to where we put that money. And I just want to leave that statement as the fact that I would love to be a part of the discussion as to what the priorities are. In the future, hopefully we do change this process, that there will be a lot more input from individuals who would like to represent what those priorities are. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment.
Chair, we have several people that have to.
Let's do that. There's a motion to move Senate Bill 5518 as amended to the full Joint Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Objections? Representative Hanna, Representative Cameron, and no one else. That motion is adopted. Carriers on the Senate side, Senator Winters. And it's a Senate bill and carried on the full House side. I'd be happy to carry it if that's what you would like. You sure you don't want to get in the bullseye again, Representative Parker? All right.
You've done a good job, Jim.
This meeting is adjourned. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Mr. Chief Justice, closing comments, if you like. Sorry, I was so ready to get out of here. I forgot. My apologies.
Representative Shields, members of the committee, I'll be very brief because I understand that you do have to be elsewhere. I would like to express my personal thanks to each and every member of the committee. I appreciate the courtesy and the professional manner in which you've dealt with the Office of Chief Justice, and I appreciate the personal courtesy that you've extended to me throughout the session. I would like everyone to know how much I appreciate the hard work and the faithful diligence that you have put in with regard to determining this independent branch of government's budget. I want to assure you that this branch of government is committed to three things. We're committed to prudently managing the resources that are given to this branch of government. And I want to explain to you just one last time how important that is. I had the privilege of speaking at the Portland City Club last Friday, and I was able to make a very fundamental point to those present and those who were listening on the radio and television. Our branch of government has no ability to fund our own operations and no ability to enforce our own orders. That's part of the genius of the Founding Fathers. And I respect that to the core of my soul. That means that we have to have your trust and your confidence in order for us to carry out our constitutional role. And I want to tell you how much I am pleased and how much I appreciate what you've done for us throughout this session. I want you, you have my personal pledge that when it comes to technology, our efforts to create the e-courthouse, the largest courthouse in the state, the one that can be interacted with by anyone from anywhere, any time of day, will be prudently managed, and that the resources you have entrusted to us will be used, if I can use this word, judiciously. Second of all, I want to echo something Representative Nathanson said. Drug courts are not a pilot project. The drug courts and treatment courts that are operating throughout this state are a success story, and they must be permanent. And I pledge to you that we're committed to making those even better so that we can address the difficult issues in our community with public safety and with families. This program is like education. It has the ability to transform what happens to families in one generation. So I appreciate your commitment to that. With regard to compensation, let me say that what has been proposed is a significant step in the right direction. What I had hoped would happen is that we could end this, that I would not have to come next session and go through the same kind of negotiation discussion. I want to be here next biennium discussing things like innovation, how our technology can interface and interact, and how we can manage our caseloads better through technology. I want to talk about us going forward, not talking about catching up. And so I would ask, if you will indulge me, I would ask that we roll up our sleeves one last time, and as things go forward, we make one more meaningful effort to get us to a place where we have a permanent COLA or an adjustment so that we don't have to have this relationship anymore. I would like us to have a different one next time. I would like us to have one that's all about how we get into the 21st century, how we treat our customers modernly, how we manage our caseloads in such a way and collect every cent of money owed victims. That's what technology can do for us, and that's what creative thinking can do for us. And so I hope that we'll go a little bit of the extra mile, that we'll roll up our sleeves together in those days that remain to us and make one more meaningful step with regard to compensation. But with regard to everything else, I want to say again, it's been a great privilege. The professional relationships and the personal relationships that I've developed with each of you and other members of the session are something I'll treasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chief Justice. We appreciate your service and your commitment to equal justice. Robin instructed me the committee tomorrow is meeting at 3:30, 3:30 to 5, presumably because of session, or?
Doug gave me the note.
Okay. 3:30 to 5, a couple of policy bills. And then, again, my current plan is to try to have a committee gathering on early evening on Wednesday, a week from today. So you should be getting more information in your... I haven't decided yet, but I'm thinking something casual like... Yeah, let me... Should I close before?
Okay, go ahead.
Okay.